So today we begin a two-part series that I've called Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Teamwork makes the dream work. And the idea is that it takes a whole team to make this dream called Unity of Bellevue a reality. It takes all of us. And teamwork not only grows us, but it also, as a community, but it also grows each one of us spiritually. It allows us to be that vessel to bring God's love into the world. There was a church in Kentucky that was putting on a week's vacation Bible school. And for 1 week, all the kids were going to be at the church. And there was this teacher, and she was had up the five-year-olds. And she was so excited. She had everything all prepared. She was all ready to go. They were just about to begin when this mother brought in this new little boy. And the teacher had never met him before. And Tommy was bright-eyed and as cute as a button. And as the teacher leaned over to give him a hug, she noticed that he didn't have a right arm. And so, you know, what went through her mind immediately was, you know, I wish I would have had known about this, and I could have prepared for it, and I could have, you know, done something special or made sure the kids weren't going to, you know, tease him or put him in a situation that would make him hurt his feelings. And, you know, and she wanted to make sure that Tommy had a really good experience. And so what she did was, as soon as the class started, the Sunday school or the Bible class, vacation Bible class started, she got all the kids around her, and she said, let's form a church. Remember that? Some of you have done that. You know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, and here's all the people. But at that moment, her heart sank, because she did exactly what she was concerned one of the kids might do. She put Tommy in a situation where he could not participate. But in that moment, a little five-year-old girl got up and stood beside him. And she said, Tommy, and not missing a beat, she said, that's okay, because together we will form the church. Together. Thank you. And so together we form a church. We form a team. We create a community together. You know, not individually, but we bring all of our talents and all of our unique skills to this moment. And we create a wonderful spiritual community called Unity of Bellevue. And the energy that allows that to happen is the energy of love. The energy of love. An energy to a commitment for being that vessel to bring God's love into the world. And we have just one purpose. And our purpose for coming here to planet Earth is a really simple one. It's to love, to serve, and to bring God into expression. That's why you're here. Very simply, to love, to serve, and to bring God into expression. You know, if you were Hindu, you'd call it God realized. You know, waking up if you're Buddhist, being more Christ-like for those of us who come from a Christian tradition, but it's bringing God's love into a form that absolutely thrills and fulfills your soul. All of the great spiritual masters, doesn't matter who they are, whether it was Jesus or Muhammad or Lao Tzu or Buddha, they all came to teach one thing. You are the light of the world. You are an original blessing. You have a purpose to bring God into expression, to bring that presence of love to this world. And you have come here to share your unique gifts and bring your unique gifts to life. That's what you have come here to do. So simple, isn't it? It's so simple. I don't know where we get off track like that. You know, Jesus said it like this, you're far happier giving than getting. Isn't that true? When we give without any expectation of return, we are just in heaven. Confucius said it like this, make your primary guiding principle this, to do your very, very best for others. Do your very best for others. And every great spiritual teacher has essentially said the same thing, that what we're here to cultivate as we're awakening is a spirit of generosity. It's that, you know, everyone tells us it's within us. Every teacher says it's within you. You don't have to look very far. It's within you. And so we're here to cultivate that spirit of generosity and giving away, you know, and being that wonderful opening. And we knew it as a child, and here we are, having to relearn it all over again. And so Buddha, 2,500 years ago, he told us and taught us that as we're cultivating this spirit of generosity, we actually go through three stages of giving. See where you are here. The first stage, Buddha said, is tentative giving. Tentative giving. You know, we hear that the youth and family ministry needs volunteers, needs people to help with our youth. And so we go, whoa, you know, 2 hours a month of my life to the youth and family ministry. Okay. They say I'll be a better person. They say I'll be happier. Okay. And so you sign up, you give it in, and you say, and you hope they never call you. Okay? Ever done that? You know, you sign up for something and it's like, oh, I just hope they never contact me. Well, that's tentative giving. You're not really giving. Okay? But that's the first stage we go to. And then the second stage that the Buddha says we move through is called brotherly, sisterly giving. Maybe you're not give too much, you don't give too much to charity, but you're very generous in your family. Or like many of you say, I love this church so much, I just have to give something back. We give because it feels good. That's brotherly, sisterly giving. But then we get to a point where Buddha says we then move into what he calls royal giving. Royal giving. We give from this divine flow that is within us. And we couldn't conceive of not giving. You know, it's sort of like the universe waking up in the morning going, should I be gravity today? It just is. It can't help itself. And so when we get into royal giving, we're giving from the divine flow because we can't help ourselves. And we don't have to think, should I be loving today? No, that's what you are. It's what you are. You're living from that divine flow. And so Buddha is asking us to and inviting us to come into, you know, is using and following these little baby steps, you know. If you're at tentative giving, fine, but know you're there. Know that you'll be moving into different stages of giving as you your spiritual life evolves. Because it's who you are. We're giving creatures. We cannot not give. And so we have a wonderful opportunity for you here at Unity of Bellevue. If you remember, out of our Day of Discovery last March, we developed a new purpose and core values and vision statement. And last month we asked you, did we get it? And most of you said, yeah, you got it. But you gave us some feedback and comments. And so the visioning team went and looked at those comments. And we tweaked the statement. And we have the new revised final version out in the Friendship Room. If you want to pick one up, you can also go online to the website under Day of Discovery and find the new updated core values, purpose, and vision statement. But now the visioning team is coming back and saying, okay, here now are the focus areas that you told us, the areas that you want us to focus on for the next 2 to 3 years. And we're calling them dream teams because teamwork makes the dream work. So these are dream teams. And there's 6 of them. And they came out of the presentations you did, and then we, over the next several weeks after that, we had given you dots and you voted on your top 6 areas. And here are the 6 areas. Youth. The second one is expressive arts. The third one is prayer, / pastoral care. The fourth one is community. The fifth one is outreach. And then finally, financial planning. Those were the areas that you told us were most important to you. And they're hanging up in the Friendship Room right now. And you'll be able to pick up a little document that looks like this that has all the teams on it. Under each team, and they're also hanging on posters in the friendship room, the back of the friendship back wall. When you walk in, you can't miss them. It has all these bullet points of ideas that you came up with that are underneath them. And ideas that may, I mean, they're what you said you'd like to see happen here at Unity of Bellevue. And so now is your opportunity to sign up for an area of your greatest passion. Maybe it's a spiritual gift that you bring to one of these areas. But we now get to put feet and action and breathe into our vision statement, because together we create a spiritual community together. Now, I don't want you signing up for anything because you feel you have to. No, that's not it. I want you to sign up because you are so passionate about it. It's an area of the church that you want to see blossom and grow, and that you are so excited that you can barely stay in your seat right now, that you want to run out there and sign up for your dream team. I want you to be that excited and wanting to see this place just take off. And so it's up to us. Now, each team has been kind of assigned a visioning team member and a staff member. They're the point people. And they'll be in the, many of them will be in the friendship room after the service to talk to you and answer any questions you might have. But they are here to coach you and to make sure that you're successful. Now, these pages will be up for quite a while because not everybody's here today. Maybe people won't be back until after Labor Day. I know people head out for the summer. I don't know why, or they just do something else on Sundays. But in September, we might have, you know, more people back, and through the fall. Some of the areas, the bullet points, you know, that we took off the pages that are still hanging in the friendship room. Some of them, maybe now's not the time for them to come forth. You know, maybe they need to take a little bit of time to be birthed. Maybe some of them will never happen. Maybe a whole slew of different things will happen. I don't know. It all depends on you. It all depends on you. You know, and some of the projects may be short-term. Maybe they'll be over in a couple of months. Others are long-term and maybe ongoing. And just know that you don't have to do it forever and ever. If you know, we're hoping that when people join a team that they'll give about a year to get it going and get it off the ground, and then you can step back and let somebody else move in. So it's very organic, very flowing, and it will be what it is. And it will happen when it's supposed to happen. You know, we don't have to push anything. You drive it. You let us know what you want and when you want it to come forth. But just know that you're now able to discover your greatest passion. And when you serve from your greatest passion, giving and using your spiritual gifts, what I know is that your life begins to work. I know that. I see it all the time. Now, what I want to do today is talk about the first three dream teams, and next week we'll talk about the next three, just to give you some ideas. These are just ideas. When our kids come in and you can hardly sit still, then really think about joining the youth dream team. And help. Here are some ideas. Help develop and support cool youth programs, events, and activities. Share your talents with our kids. Volunteer to be back with our kids during the Sunday service at 11 o'clock. You come to this service, stay, and once a month be with the kids. Support our families. Help us create exciting plans to attract more families and more kids. That's what many of you said. We need to get younger families in here. Help us create plans to do that. When the choir's up here singing and your toe is tapping and you're humming along, join the choir. You know, or if you'd love to see a drama ministry or an arts ministry or a crafts ministry or a photography ministry, more concerts, plays, a children's choir, sign up for the Expressive Arts Dream Team. And you'll dream up some pretty creative, exciting things. If you love praying with people, or maybe you're a nurturer, if you'd love to send cards to people, maybe, you know, if they're sick or maybe they've lost, you know, somebody in the family died, and, you know, have a team of people sending cards. Maybe, you know, when somebody comes out of the hospital, have a team of people who brings food in. Maybe drives them to a follow-up doctor's appointment. There's so many things we can do just to nurture and be with our congregation, take care of each other. And if that kind of excites you, the pastoral prayer, pastoral care dream team may be the team for you. They'll look at the teams and the ideas. You know, there's a place of passion calling to you, and, you know, to use in service to the great awakening that's happening on this planet. And the most exciting thing is you're being asked to serve in the area of your greatest passion and your greatest joy. And so consider joining a team. And I love an acronym for TEAM, T-E-A-M, is together everyone accomplishes more. We can accomplish more together than we can do individually. So TEAM, join a team. Buckminster Fuller, he was an inventor and an incredible visionary. When he was in his early 20s, he found himself standing on a bridge preparing to take his life. His daughter had just died. He was facing bankruptcy, and his wife was inconsolable. And he felt totally overwhelmed, totally in despair. And standing on that bridge, thinking if he jumped, it would end the pain, he asked this question of the universe. What would make it worthwhile for me to go through the despair and the pain that is in my life right now? What would make it worthwhile? And the answer from the universe was a profound question. And the question that he lived the rest of his life answering was, how much good can one person do? How much good can one person do? So I challenge you to start your life today, starting right now. Ask yourself, how much good could one man or one woman do if they went the distance and fulfilled their divine potential? It's a great question to ask yourself. Buckminster Fuller died 6 decades later. Thank God he didn't jump. Having patented 2,000 inventions, you know, he created the geodesic dome, written 25 books, and mentored many greats such as Mark Victor Hansen of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book fame and John Denver. And in fact, John Denver wrote this song, the song that Jonathan sang during, you know, at the meditation time, because he was, Bucky Fuller, as he called him, was one of his great friends and mentors. And it, you know, what one man can do is dream. What one man can do is love. What one man can do is change the world and make it work again. Here you see what one man can do. And that's sung to every single one of us. Now, do you know what one person, you, can do? Now, you can be an expression for God wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So I want to end today with this. This is one of my favorite stories about a boy named Bopsy, and how one man made a huge, huge difference in this young boy's life. 26-year-old mother stared down at her son in a hospital bed who was dying of terminal leukemia. And like any parent, she had wanted her son to grow up and to fulfill all of his dreams. But that was no longer possible because the leukemia would see to that. But she still wanted her son's dreams to come true. She took her son's hand one day and asked, "Bopsy, did you ever think of what you might want to do when you grew up?" "Mommy, I always wanted to be a fireman when I grew up." And she smiled and said, "Well, let's see if we can make that your wish come true." And later that day, she went down to the local fire department in Phoenix, Arizona, where she met Fireman Bob, who had a heart as big as Phoenix. She explained her son's final wish to him and asked if it might be possible for him to give her 6-year-old son a ride around the block in a fire truck. Well, Fireman Bob said, "Look, we can do better than that. If you'll have your son ready by 7:00 on Wednesday morning, we'll make him an honorary fireman for the entire day. He can come down to the fire station, eat with us, go out on all the fire calls, the whole 9 yards. And if you give us his sizes, we'll get a real fire uniform made for him with a real fire hat, not a toy one, with the emblem of the Phoenix Fire Department on it, a yellow slicker like we wear, and rubber boots." 3 days later, Fireman Bob picked up Bopsy, dressed him in the fire uniform, and escorted him from his hospital bed
to the waiting hook and ladder truck. Bobsy got to sit in back of the truck and helped steer it back all the way to the fire station. He was in heaven. There were three fire calls in Phoenix that day, and Bobsy got to go out on all three calls. He rode in different fire engines, the paramedics van, and even the fire chief's car. Having his dream come true, with all of the love and attention that was lavished upon him, so deeply touched Bobsy that he lived 3 months longer than any doctor thought possible. And one night, all of his vital signs began to drop dramatically. The head nurse, who believed in the hospice concept that no one should die alone, began to call his family, the family members, to the hospital. But then she remembered that day that Bobsy had spent as a fireman. So she called the fire department. She called the fire chief and asked if it would be possible to send over a fireman in uniform to the hospital to be with Bobsy while he made his transition. The fire chief said, "We can do better than that. We'll be there in 5 minutes. But will you please do me a favor? When you hear the sirens screaming and see the lights flashing, will you please announce over the PA system that there is not a fire? It's just the fire department coming to see one of its finest members one more time. And will you open the room to his window to his room?" 5 minutes later, a hook and ladder truck arrived at the hospital, extended its ladder up to Bobsy's third floor open window, and 14 firemen and 2 firewomen climbed up the ladder into Bobsy's room. With his mother's permission, they hugged him and held him and told him how much they loved him. And with his dying breath, Bobsy looked up at the fire chief and said, "Chief, am I really a fireman now?" "Bobsy, you are," the chief said. And with these words, Bobsy smiled and closed his eyes for the last time. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of work you do. You can make a difference when you serve with love.